Good morning, good morning. How are we doing? It's good to see you all. I'll just give yourselves a clap for getting here on time today. So excited to spring forward. Welcome to those online at home. We're coming to the end of our series. We have one more to go and then we'll be done with this series. But I trust that as we've gone over these last couple of weeks that you've we've looked at different facets of this positioned in Christ. And I would like to say that we've probably credibly dug into the revelation of the who, the why, the what, the where, the how of this, of our position in Christ. And I trust by the time we finish this, you're not confused. You know who you are in Christ and what your position is, what your identity is. Jess did an amazing job last week in talking about we are positioned from victory. And I love the worship again this morning. So to help us a little bit, I've done, and I've tried to color it and make the jigsaw look great. If you can see, each piece is a different color. I'm not smart enough to have figured out how to have colored the actual pieces. But you can have a look how we started in part one and went through it and how we looked at the how, what, why, and those who preached and helped us get there. And I trust that this helps deepen your confidence, deepen your understanding that we are more than conquerors. That's not just a cute term that as Christians we trot out. This is the Word of God. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Our position, our identity is secure, and it releases us to live as men and women of God that He has called us to be and to do it all. And we didn't have to pay for it. Jesus paid it all. And He paid it upon the cross. And what it means is help us to understand we cannot live a dual life. And are we going to look at a fair amount of time this morning about our sinful nature and our new nature, the old covenant and the new covenant, and how we get to do that. And because this morning I want to preach on now we really live. Don't you love that picture? Now we really live. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." Now that's from the NIV. We understand that Timothy has just returned from Thessalonica and he's brought this great report. And in verse 6, he writes this to Timothy. Paul's writing to Tim about Timothy and says, "And he has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly, longing to see us as we long to see you." And this is a great picture of apostolic connection with the church, with this body that is building and going. And basically he's saying, you guys at Thessalonica, you've grasped hold of this. You understand your position in Christ. And so we received it. We live in it. So number one, we want to talk about a new life and a new nature and what that means for us. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, warns them and encourages them in that amazing text in chapter 4, to maturity and the fullness of Christ, coming into that full knowledge and understanding and the knowing of the wondrous of knowing Christ fully. Ephesians 4:14 says this, "So that we may no longer, not anymore. I love imperatives in Scripture. It helps us to focus ourselves and go, okay, I'm not confused here. I'm no longer to be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes." Paul's like covering everything now, saying, no, 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 know your position in Christ. In modern parlance, it would say, in Christ, you got this. We got this. We need to have a revelation of the foundations of the doctrines of Christ. And do you remember we did that series and I went and looked up when we did it and I was quite shocked to see we did that already in 2018. And here we are in 2021. Time goes when we're having amazing fun. He says, the point is, everyone, family, is when you know your position on the team, you know what you're supposed to do. If you're the goalkeeper, you know you don't really get to score goals. But you've got to stop the other team from scoring goals. When you, whatever position you have on the team, you know what you're supposed to do. If you have your position in the family, you know what your duties are. Children, it's not your job to actually bring in the bread and butter to the family. That's for dad and mom to figure out. For the children, you've got to have duties that you got to do. Like go shopping. Yes. Or take out the garbage. Or shovel the driveway. Whatever the case may be. You're part of the family, you have duties. I trust you do anyway. When you're in position at work, you know what you're supposed to do. You don't like go over to somebody else's cubicle or desk and say, well, let me do your job for you. You do what you're meant to do. When you're in your position in Christ, you know who you are and how we are meant to live and what we are meant to do and sow seeds. The point is, when we are unaware of this, then we become tossed to and fro by every wave and every wind of life that throws at us. When you don't know God's word, when you don't know the heart of the Father, when you don't have a revelation of Jesus Christ, you're just going to accept anything and everybody. Amen. Okay, you're very quiet this morning. It's okay to say amen even from behind your masks. Or if you're afraid, just wave at me, then I know we're here. There we go. Thank you. Natalie's waving with two hands. Just means she's waving for some of you as well. The problem is when we are tossed to and fro, it means we never get any traction in life. We never, you know, we spoke about roots and fruits. You never get a good root system dug down. Your victory that Jessica spoke, we're fighting from victory. But when you don't understand this, your victories are anemic. Because, oh, you don't understand, Pastor, the devil is attacking me again. Well, it's time to understand our position in Christ, who we are, and what we are meant to be doing. Amen? Then he encourages us in Romans 6:11. So you also must consider. You know, some people don't like being told, you must. Well, here the scripture is telling us. So you also, don't worry, don't look at me. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. You must consider, not if you feel like it, if you think it's okay. You also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. We've got to change our thinking from sin consciousness to righteous consciousness. We got to think of ourselves, I'm dead to sin, I live dead to sin, and I live alive to Christ. Now we really live. We are dead to flesh and alive to the new spirit man. Sin no longer has a hold. Well, you don't understand, Pastor. Trust me, I do. If you cut me, I bleed. I hurt. I understand. Unless, of course, you float 3 inches off the ground, then we're all in the same boat. Romans 6:4. Says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the old way? No, in the newness of life. That we have this new life, this new nature. We have to understand the importance of obedience and the significance of that obedience. And what he is saying to us, well, then you need to learn that as Christ was buried, and he's using a metaphor for us to help us, he was buried in death in the tomb. He was then resurrected, the old self, and then his body. Remember when he came and saw the disciples, he said, no, don't touch me. I have not been glorified as yet. So we understand that at salvation, we became a new creation. We were given a new nature. And I testify that I'm buried. Why? Doing this is in obedience to baptism. March the 28th. If you have never been baptized, if you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and sometime in the past, please see Pastor Michael afterwards. We're doing a baptism on March the 28th. And so get baptized in obedience to him. By your baptism, you're signifying to the outside world, I'm dead to sin, I'm alive to Christ. Just like he was buried in the tomb, I'm buried underwater and I'm resurrected. That was for free. I've been made alive in Christ. Now we really live. Hebrews 10:16. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. So now the writer of the Hebrews is referring back to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31. And when God was revealing a future new covenant that he would establish with Israel, the new covenant has to do with the inner transformation, not the outer transformation. It has to do with an inner transformation. God is saying, I'm going to change the hearts of man. He will write his laws on our hearts. He will take out the heart of stone, as we know, and will give us a heart of flesh. He will give us an understanding. He will renew our mind, and we daily get to renew our minds, Romans 12:2. This new covenant, unlike the old covenant, which was established in its temporal, this new covenant is established in eternity and perpetuality. It means that once we step into the new covenant, we live and function and have our being in the grace of the new covenant. Amen. We don't live straddled between two covenants. Well, today I'm old covenant, today I'm new covenant. I live in the Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6 says, a new and better covenant. And we need to learn to walk in that. Jesus never straddled the cross. He had his feet nailed firmly to the cross for us. And he was taking us by his death, by his resurrection, by the Holy Spirit coming and sealing it into the new covenant. And we can't live straddling. Part of our issue is because we don't really live and understand our position and identity in Christ. And that's why we try and straddle it. And we try and live half in the old covenant, half in the new covenant. And the old covenant is gone. Did you hear what I just said? The old covenant is gone. We live in the new covenant. Part of our issue is when we don't understand this, because people have taken, and forgive me for this, a self-pious stance and think it is humility when we declare, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Let me help you today. That is not a biblical concept. What do you mean? I've said that for half my Christian life, or most of it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Now you've caught the wrong end of the stick in this thing. It's not a biblical say. At best, it's poor theology. When you declare this, so you know, you remember now, what we say, what we believe, we walk out and we believe and we live in that, right? Okay, some of you think so, some of you, what is he talking about? So when we believe this and declare this and behave like this, why would your propensity to sin be changed? Because you still think, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. That's like tacked on. I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Let me just say it again. It is not a biblical concept. We believe we are prone to sin. And the trappings of sin that go with it. Why? Because we say, well, I have a sinful nature. Well, I'm going to help you today to see that sinful nature is dead. It's gone. You have a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I'm going off script here, obviously. And it says, all things have passed. All things are gone. All things have become new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. When we don't think differently, we continue to think that the power that sin has over my life is stronger than what Christ has done in me and wants to do through me. We have become in Christ the power and the indwelling power of the living Holy Spirit in us. Amen. Romans 6:6. Let me help you further. A lot of scripture today. It's good. Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with him. Just stop there and consider that for a moment. My old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin. It's not hard. It's not difficult. And we're going to look at some pictures and diagrams that I've done today to help us. What I'm saying is, what are you saying here, the writing in there, is the old self, the old man, everything I was in Adam is dead. It's gone. The person no longer exists. He is dead, crucified. My old self was Jesus, was crucified, was nailed to the cross. So for us, there was no pain. For us, there was no shame. For us, there was no beating. Yet the result for us is exactly the same as our brother, as our Lord, as our Master, Jesus Christ. We didn't have to get beaten. We didn't have to get spat in. We didn't have to get punched and our hair torn out and a crown of thorns placed upon our heads. Jesus did it all for us. That's what I've said. He paid it all. My former self has gone altogether. Michael Eaton says this, the Christian is not simply adjusting his old life or making a few modifications or adding a bit of religion. We sometimes think that now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to add on Christianity to my life. And I'm saying to you, no, that is gone. This is a whole new person, a whole new life. I don't go to church. I am the church. Yeah, we think we're doing everybody a favor, but there is a power in anointing and the saints come together. There is corporate anointing. There is power when all the saints come together and are together, even though we are physically distanced right now. There is power in worship. There is power in prayer. There is power in hearing the simplest of testimonies. Well, that wasn't a big deal. No, it was a huge deal. Because our Father hears and He listens. And I think as Dom said it, you don't have to be recovering from a terrible illness or anything like that to actually give a testimony. We want to know, what is God doing in your life? He's taking care of the most simplest of things in our lives. That's a testimony. We cannot modify something that is completely non-existent. We're trying to modify my old self and bolt on some religion or some formality of Christianity. No, no, no. Gone. Finished. We are not in protective custody. This is not like, of course, we snitched on the devil and now we're in protective custody. No, we're not. We're a new creation. We can still walk around freely. The sin mafia's trying to find us but can't because he looks. There was an old, where's Mark? No, there's not Mark. He has a new creation in Christ Jesus. He's also called Mark, but he's different. Well, I hope we see we're different. We have to understand that we distinguish between position and behavior. Now we really live. Let's just have the diagram up, please. We have to see that our position in Christ is instant. We see that our behavior, like say, I've used this before, but I've added a few things in for us. So your justification, your salvation is instant. Once you give your life to Jesus, that's instant. And your sanctification is a progress, as you can see. And that fits into our behavior. The red line at the bottom, if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where you're living. You're just traveling along there, doing your sinfulness of man. You know, the reality is, family, we cannot expect people who don't know the Lord Jesus to behave differently. And I'm going to show you in another picture that I've got for us. But my position in Christ Jesus is secure. It doesn't matter. And I know we go up and sometimes we behave badly and we slip down a little bit and we go up a little bit and we slip down a little bit. But we are slowly getting one degree of glory to know. And I trust it doesn't take you 20 years to get there. And that's why it's important for us to change our thinking, change our speech, change the way we behave. Change things that we're doing. We have to understand we were born a sinner in Adam, but you're not in Adam anymore. You are born again. That's what we talk about, being born again. Nicodemus, how is it that I have to be born again? How can I enter my mother's womb? He was a very smart man, but really didn't get it. And so Jesus had to explain to him that we're not in Adam anymore. I'm telling you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're not in Adam anymore. You are a saint that has been saved by grace. You have a new nature. You have a new nature that is the righteousness of God. See God's righteousness? That you have a nature that is righteous. The condition you used to have in is still stronger than your new condition is Christ when your behavior doesn't change. How many times have you heard me say, some people have walked the aisle, prayed the prayer, shook the preacher's hand, but never had a change of heart. I would boldly declare that you never got saved. You did it because you thought, well, I just better do this thing because I don't know. Bridget can tell you, the day I recommitted my life to the Lord, I came home and did something I'd never ever done in my life before. There were a lot of leaves on the driveway and I swept the driveway and she was like, what are you doing? I said, I don't know, babes, the driveway is full of leaves. This, I felt I should sweep it. She was like, oh, okay. Back inside, leave me alone. Do my thing. Our position will change our behavior. When our position brings us privileges and makes us sons, as we say, sons of God. We did a whole sermon on it. Sin has been made powerless in our lives. We no longer serve sin. We serve God and His Spirit that is living inside of me. We had sin that was working from the inside out. But now we have a new nature. We have Holy Spirit living inside, an inner transformation. Little ditty. Jesus was tempted by sin and prevailed. Adam and Eve were tempted by sin and failed. All our sins to the cross are nailed. We got to know that our sins have been nailed to the cross. Jesus took them upon Himself, and that's why we have His imputed righteousness. Let's look at another scripture to help us. Colossians 2:11. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him, is that baptism thing again, through faith in the powerful working of God who raised Him from the dead. Now the Colossian church were mostly Gentiles who had not been circumcised. And the Judaizers were going around saying, no, 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 to be Christian, now and to be fully Jew and fully Christian, you now have to get circumcised. So that's why Paul writes this to them, and he's using this metaphor of circumcision. You might be wondering, what has that got to do with it? To help us to understand that our sinful nature has been cut off and surgically removed. It is no longer part of us and who we are. Through the precious blood of Jesus, the legal transaction that set me free from the law. He's saying, you guys have already been spiritually circumcised. You don't have to follow the law. You don't have to listen to what these guys, because Jesus has come and He has spiritually circumcised you. Your heart has been circumcised, taken away the law part of us. As Jesus cried on the cross, Tetelestai, it is finished, it is done, it is sealed, it is delivered. It was a spiritual act made without hands. It was a heavenly transaction that came and circumcised my heart. That changes your heart because, as you know, biblically the heart is the wellspring of life. It's not just a muscle that pumps blood and keeps us alive. It is the center of everything, who we are, what we are, according scripturally. Says it is an action that describes putting off the body of flesh, the old man, the sin nature. Believers no longer live in the sphere of the flesh and its influence, but have been transferred to the kingdom of light in Christ. And we live through it in Him and by Him, under His lordship. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through salvation, by accepting Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, the circumcision of the heart takes place, a divine spiritual act. And as I often said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience, and we have to learn to flip that around, and we'll look at the diagram just now. Oh, Christians have been removed, taken away, made dead from their ancestry with Adam, and have been made alive in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Romans 6:19 says, I'm speaking in human terms. I'm talking to you in human terms now because of your natural limitations. Because sometimes we just don't get it. For just as you once presented your members as slaves. Now, a lot of the Roman congregation were slaves. So you have to learn the language of the time. They didn't say they were slaves. But a lot of them were slaves. A lot of them were ex-slaves. So he's talking to them in a language that they, oh yeah, we get that. And so that's why he uses this metaphor. Just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Change your behavior. Change the way you think. Change your actions. Change your speech. Here's a little bit of example. We know that when we change jobs or careers, we always do it for something better, right? Right? Okay? It's always for the better. You know, unless you're like me, I took a lower position, but I still took more money in a bigger company because I was in a small... Anyway, you get what I'm saying. In the same manner, Christ has taken us out of darkness into better, into his kingdom of Son. He's taken us from being slaves to sonship, to heirs, to children of God, to being liberated from the old covenant into the new covenant, out of law into grace, out of old self into new self, out of sin nature into new nature, out of sin consciousness into righteousness thinking. Amen? But when we don't walk in this, when we don't get it, then our victories are anemic, as I've said before. It's like this. You start a new job. You're so excited. Man, you even come and test you. God was so good. He gave me this new job. I got a better salary. He doubled my salary, gave me a better position. I got a company car. I got that. And you have this new job and you're so excited about it. And you go to work and you go, hey, boss, I'm so glad to be here. I'm excited to be here. And it's so good working for you. Lunchtime comes. You go out to lunch and you walk across the road back to your old job. And you walk in there and you go, hey, boss, what can I do for you this afternoon? That's what it's like. When we're taken out and into, but we still keep wanting to go back to the old covenant. We still want to go back to the old boss. We still want to go back. What can I do here? And what? Why are you here? We have to understand that we learn, it says, present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. Don't go back to your old nature. Don't go back to your sin nature. Don't go back to the old covenant. Stay and walk in the beauty of the new covenant. Now, I've drawn up a little table to help us with this one. We don't spend much time, but in Adam, there's a conduit in Christ. So we have the old man, which is ourself, by ancestry, as you heard me, our new man, also ourself. But we have Ephesians 2, 1 and 3 says we have a sin nature and we were called children of wrath. We lived there. And that was by our nature. However, we have been purchased and we are now partakers of a divine nature, 1 Peter 1, 4, which says we have been granted a divine nature. Now, you can't have sin nature and divine nature functioning at the same time. In the flesh, Romans 8:8 means we cannot please God, and that's by birth. We were born into Adam, and then we were reborn, and we come into Jesus Christ. In the Spirit, Romans 8:9, our rebirth. And now that the Spirit of God dwells in us, we please God when we live by the Spirit. And then finally, we live according to the flesh, Galatians 5:16 to 18. It says the desires of the flesh are displeasing to God, or against God, and this is now we get to choose. How do you want to live? I want to live in the old man. I want to live straddled. No, I'm just suggesting you just take a mental picture and nail your feet to the cross too, so that you can't straddle. And then in Christ, we live according to the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, 18. The Spirit is against flesh, and it's for God, and it's in God. I hope that's a little bit helpful. Moving on. You might ask, number two, if we do not have a sinful nature, why do we still sin? I'm so glad you asked. We need to retrain our body, soul, and spirit. Because our spirit has been made alive in Christ Jesus. Our position is secure. But our body and our soul have to catch up. Galatians 5:17. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit. And the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. Can you see there's a war waging? For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. So let's have the next last diagram up. So here we go. Sin nature versus new nature. Old man, Adam, new man, Christ. So life in the flesh, body one, soul two, spirit three. Now, understanding that in life in the flesh, your spirit is dead. It's not alive. It's not functioning. So you're just functioning in two planes, body and soul. Because it's all about me and all that I want to do and everything I want to do and I want to accomplish and I. The new man in Christ, your spirit is made alive. Number one, we are now spirit beings. Number two is my soul, which we are renewing all the time, my mind. My body, number three, is my flesh. A life in the spirit. And we have to learn, I hope you can see there's the three little men all in the one there. And we see this, that the old man is not the real you any longer. The flesh is not the real you. The flesh is destined to pass away and be resurrected again. This outer thing is dying from the day we're born, it's decaying from the day we're born, we get and we can build up and we can diet down and we can do everything we can, but it just aches and pains and creaks, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Can't just jump off the bed like you used to, you've got to roll over and sit up and gently stand up. The new man is the real you. In Christ Jesus, that is the real you. Now the challenge is to live godly lives, live holy lives. We are called a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You've got to get that into our heads and live like that. And the thing is, well, why don't we do that? Well, number one, there's a temptation, an attack from the outside in. Your flesh is, look at all this around me. Oh, this is so good. Oh, I just love ice cream. But it's no good for you, Mark. I love ice cream. Okay, let's get another tub of ice cream. That's the flesh. Guilty, just so you know. We live in a fallen world. The world outside is not saved world. The world is fallen. It's vying for your attention all the time. I just do it because it makes me feel good. Now, that's probably not good for you. It attacks us from the outside in. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, not some of stuff that's in, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. You want an imperative? They'll help you. That's why we don't listen to the body, the flesh, what the cravings are required. We listen to the spirit. The enemy still wants to dominate you. The enemy still wants to put you down. The enemy still wants to steal and kill and destroy from you. Unfortunately, he succeeds in too many areas because we submit to the temptation. We have the Spirit of God living in us, working outside, and we should rely on that small, still voice. When you go, oh man, I want to do this, I want to say this. You know, I practice that every day when I read some of the stuff that's written on Facebook. I just like, the flesh rises up. I don't want to. No, down flesh, down boy. Don't let the flesh overtake you. Let your spirit dwell. Don't listen to the liar's voice. You can do it. It's okay. Just have your opinion. It's okay. Our minds aren't properly renewed, and we're renewing them daily. We don't really fully understand our position in Christ. We need to learn to trust our spirit, the Holy Spirit within us, rather than our flesh. Number three, what are we being delivered from? Again, I'm so glad you asked. Number one, we're delivered from the present evil age. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present age? Christ died to deliver us from the evil age. You want some deliverance? Here's your deliverance for you through Christ Jesus, according to the will of our God and Father. Emancipation is the message of the cross. Freedom, liberty. Freedom, the problem is that our understanding, when we don't understand this properly, then it is an insipid emancipation. We take it for granted. We don't acknowledge the power of it. We don't get the freedom that we've been given. Freedom from our sins, freedom from the evil of this present age, it says. Freedom from eternal damnation. Now, mostly we never think eternally. We just think, well, what's tomorrow? What can we do for tomorrow? If our thinking is we stayed anchored, when our thinking is like that, we stayed anchored to the law. It's like this big ball and chain on this leg. And yeah, we're straddling. Ball and chain, and you're trying to move it. You're now working for the new boss, but at lunchtime you run across to see what the old boss, what can we do for you? And the old boss is only too happy to see you because you were a good worker. Okay. The foundation of salvation is that from Christ Jesus, not through our works and our feelings and our efforts. Now we really live as children of light. Secondly, we are delivered from the law. Galatians 2:19, for through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. The point is that if we are dead to the law, then it is impossible for the law to be the way that we stand accepted by God. Did you hear what I just said? If we think that it's through the law, by through my efforts, by do, it's not the way we get accepted by God. It's through Jesus Christ and coming and giving ourselves to Him and saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Accept me as your son or your daughter. And we live in that. The law demanded death for those who broke it. The law cannot bring life. No one has ever fulfilled the law except Jesus Christ. All stand condemned by it, but Christ paid the demands for us. That is the whole point of propitiation, that the wrath of God was appeased against man's sin. Jesus came to fulfill the law and fulfill it by becoming the perfect Lamb of God, the spotless Lamb of God, as the disciple John says, who takes away the sin of the world and brings us reconciled to the Father. There's no law that can hold us or bind us. We have been free to live, but now we really live in the beauty of His grace. Number three, delivered from ourselves. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified. This is Paul writing, and we should be able to write that as well. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, now that I live on earth, and now that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I, Saul, the self-righteous and self-centered one, am dead. I now, Paul, am the one who lives in the righteousness of God's Son. And I live in this by faith. We are Mark, now our remade Mark. We have been delivered from the potential of hurting ourselves. You know, like sometimes, I don't know about everybody, but I know sometimes you like, you know, one of the first toys you like to give a kid, especially if you're in outdoors, is a knife. And sometimes when he's too young, that's a very stupid gift to give him. Because he's going to come inside. Look, Ma. Yeah. And go, careful, my son, it's a very sharp knife. Yeah, well, if you have to say that, then don't give it to him. Wait till he's able to handle it, and then you can teach him and train him. Yeah, you don't want to give people toys that hurt themselves. We're going to say, we don't want to go where areas where we can hurt ourselves. Now we really live in Christ Jesus. Number four, we've been delivered from the flesh. Galatians 5:24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Oh, I didn't realize, because I still hanker after this. You know, I used to take drugs, and now I'm delivered, but I'm just so angry now, I just think I'm going to go and take drugs again. Have you lost your mind? Well, it's because my flesh is screaming out for it. Well, what's your spirit say? Your spirit's going, no. My fallen sinful nature is dead. Remind yourself, my fallen sinful nature is dead. I'm regenerated. I am a new creation in Christ. I have the power and ability to withstand the attempts of sin in Christ Jesus. Don't try and take it upon yourself. Call on Jesus. Say, Jesus, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. I feel the temptation, but I want to withhold it. There is an unrelenting war that is raging for you. Yet our stance is irreversible. I have crucified the flesh. I have crucified the flesh. Some of you need to go and do some self-talk. You understand it's a done deal. We have pressed the buzzer. We can't go back now. Be-bar, be-bar, be-bar. You can't go back. You've pressed the buzzer. Stay there. We can't undo it. The passions and desires of our sinful nature are dead. I am victorious. I am positioned from victory. I'm living victorious. Now we really live. I'm more than a conqueror. I am pure and holy from the inside out. I live from victory. That should be our cry, our mantra. Now we really live as children of the Spirit, not of the flesh. Last one. We are delivered from the world. Yeah, but we still live in the world. Yes. We are the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are aliens just passing through, Scripture tells us. Yeah, but you mean you don't understand. I'm like 60, 70, 80 what? I'm still passing through. Yeah, there's a crown for you in heaven. Galatians 6:14. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me. Jesus didn't faint on the cross. Jesus didn't go into a coma on the cross. He died on the cross. When it says we have crucified the world, we have crucified the flesh, we have crucified ourselves, it means we are dead and we are resurrected as a new creation. Crucified to me and I to the world. That should be our theme. I'm crucified to the world as well. I've got to go to work. I've got to catch the bus. I've got to go to the show. I'm going to meet sinners. Let that your testimony be that they recognize that you were taken from darkness into the kingdom of light. That you, without having to say anything, that people go, there's something different about that person. I'm not sure. I don't understand it. But there's something different about them. Why? Because we are delivered from the world. When the King of Glory comes, you know, the cross is a symbol of shame, but Jesus made it a symbol of glory, because when he comes, we will be taken up into glory with him. All the trappings, all the allure, all the glitz, all the glamour of this world around us should be dead to us. Doesn't mean you can't go and have fun. It means don't allow it to dominate you. Anything that stands between you and your relationship with God was placed on the cross and needs to die. Did I say that clearly enough? Paul says, we are ruled by externals and the glory of human attainment. But when Jesus comes back and comes to take it, and he took it all upon himself, and when he comes back, we've been washed in the blood, and we will be glorified with him. And now we really live as children of his kingdom. Lastly, the old man, the sinful nature, that has been crucified, that is dead, that is gone. You, that person does not live anymore. There is a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have a Holy Spirit dominated, controlled. Those aren't great words, but that means that we allow Holy Spirit to move us and to listen to His word. Christ in me, the hope of glory, is what we should say. When Christ is in us, we have the power over sin. We don't have to say yes to that fleshly stuff. When the sin mafia comes knocking at your door, all we have to say is no. Make a choice. I showed you in that diagram that we've been delivered from this present evil age, from the law, from ourselves, from the flesh, from the world, and we get to live as children of the Spirit. Last verse, Colossians 3:2. Now that I hope you understand that by now, this is what we say. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died. You know, I suppose we could have termed this preach dead man walking. You have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is Christ just an addition? Is something that you strap on or bolted to? Well, this is my life, this is my job, this is my career, this is who I am. Oh, Jesus, you can come along for the ride. Or is Christ your life? Is He the center of everything? Then you will appear with Him in glory. Our lives need to be dominated by the pattern of heaven, bringing heavenly direction to this earthly life, pursuing a deeper knowledge of Christ Himself. Philippians 3:10 reminds us that I may know Him, that I may have this gnosis, this intimate relationship with Him. And all things belong to living with and for Him. And that would include Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now we really live. Now we really live. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, would you come and seal these words in our hearts today? Would you bring a deeper revelation of your will for us? Will you keep a deeper revelation of my position in you is secure? It is my sanctification behavior that I'm working on, Lord God. I'm diligently paying attention to it, Lord. Father, that I would realize that my old man is dead. I don't have to go looking for the old boss. That I walk and breathe and have my being in you, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth, Lord. Thank you, Lord God, that in Adam that has been flipped around, that now we are spiritual beings living on earth, Lord God, allowing the Spirit to work in us. Lord God, that we would set our minds on things that are above, that we would dream heavenly dreams, that we would think heavenly thoughts, that we would think and behave in a heavenly way. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.